91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. This afternoon begins with why a group of professional South Florida musicians show concern for at-risk teenagers. Good afternoon, Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. Many kids are exposed to gang culture, guns, and drug abuse. These tie into dropout rates, which completes a vicious cycle. We'll speak with musician Chad Bernstein and get the lowdown on his Guitars Over Guns program. It clicks with teens. It's better for these kids to feel music is cooler than street life. And more, Linda Gassenheimer's Food and Dining is devoted to the annual Miami Spice discount offer. During August and September, many area restaurants offer sizable discounts. That's next. First, NPR and regional news. And it's 7 minutes past 1 o'clock. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper with you, and Bonnie returns today. Good to have you back. Well, how was the workshop?
You. Oh, it was very good, very productive.
Good.
Yeah. Well, today is Thursday, and we have our program ahead, and we have a really enjoyable treat today, including some live music in our studio. With us now is Chad Bernstein. He's an esteemed South Florida-based musician and composer. He's
well known as the Trombone Doctor and has played with many, many musical greats, both live and in studio. Welcome to Topical Currents, Chad Bernstein.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
But today, the Trombone Doctor, Chad Bernstein, is here for another calling, and it's a really remarkable project. It's called Guitars Over Guns. And with us, let's introduce everybody okay. Right now, why don't we? Okay, we have, well, they were students in Guitars Over Guns. Now they're mentors.
Very good. We have Rudy LaFrance. He's a guitarist, and he's going to play for us a little bit later. And also Santa Marie Arocha. She's here. And they seem to be eager to give us a little performance, but we'll find out more about them also.
Yes, we will. But let's start with you, Chad, if you will. I really loved your story. I was very moved about your family, your desire to make a difference. So if you just would give us a sketch of your background and how you came to become motivated to help troubled or at-risk youth.
Sure. My background is of being a musician from as long as I can remember, hearing music and knowing that that's what I wanted to do. I think it's something that grabbed me from the earliest age. And it's something that when I was in middle school, you know, was something that I could really rely on and dig into and lose myself in. And in a time where I think, you know, a lot of kids go through various issues of social issues or whatever. And, right. And it was definitely the thing that I kind of immersed myself in. And then when I moved to Miami, I came down for a music scholarship to University of Miami and was playing in a local band, Suenelo. And Suenelo, through playing in Suenelo, I was living this dream that I had always had of playing in a multicultural band of people from around the world that was representative of that kind of melting pot and representative of the universal language that music is. And we were doing some mentoring in the community through friends of ours that were teaching at various locations, and one of them was at a juvenile detention center. And we went and performed for these kids and were asked to speak to them about what we do as musicians and, you know, a potential career path and things of that nature. And we got there and we started talking, and that was the wrong thing to start with. And they were, you know, quickly bored and just wondered who the heck is this that came in and is going to tell us how, you know, what we could do with our lives. And as soon as we started to perform, the energy in the room changed a lot, and they were interested in what we were doing. And we finished a song, we went back to talking, and it was the same thing, you know, slouching down in their chairs, kind of despondent. And there was a kid in the back of the room, and I'll never forget this. There was a kid in the back of the room that was kind of goofing around and just went, na na nueve. And what he thought was a joke, we turned into a song, and we started improvising and creating, you know,
right there
on the spot, a song with them. And we were doing call and response, and they were, you know, we were singing to them and they were singing back to us, and then a couple kids got up and rapped, and in that moment they were so interested in what we were doing, and when we stopped, it went from us trying to tell them how we do what we do or why we do what we do to, can you show us what you do? Can you show us how you did that? And it was just this very clear picture to me that we had this power as a group of musicians to connect with people the same way that music had reached us at some point in our lives. And the unfortunate reality is that music's being taken out of a lot of the schools these right. days because of budgets and whatnot, mm-hmm. and that's a whole nother discussion. But, you know, the reality is the music programs that I was privy to when I was a kid just don't exist anymore. And so as musicians and as people in our community that care about where we live, you know, we just felt compelled to do something. And we started volunteering at a middle school through several strategic partnerships and a lot of really thoughtful kind of pre-action on our part, but determined the best way to kind of go about formalizing what we had been doing in the community already. And through several partnerships with communities and schools in the University of Miami and McDermott, Will, and Emory, got our start in North Miami Middle School. And that's where we met these great kids. And I think Rudy was in our maybe fourth year there or third year there. And Santa came to us a couple years ago, and watching these kids, young adults now, just grow into amazing people has been the most rewarding experience of my life. And it's come full circle from what I'm passionate about and what I recognize the passion in my fellow bandmates and community leaders, musicians. It's come full circle. You know, we've been able to use what we're passionate about to give back to the community and empower other kids to do the same. And I think that that's just, it's amazing work, and it's resonating with a lot of people, both people, you know, musicians and people that want to be mentors, but also with our community. And with other cities. We've started a program now in Chicago, which is where I'm initially from. And
oh, I was wondering about expanding. Okay.
Yeah. So it's been an amazing journey, and just feel really fortunate to be surrounded by such amazing people, both in the organization and in my musical community, and to have had the support of my family and friends and community to do the work that we're doing.
Chad, you're wearing a t-shirt with a guitar on it. It's a black t-shirt, and then it says, "Guitars over guns. Choose your sound." It's kind of bleak, but that's really where it is.
It is. I'm a shameless promoter also, so my t-shirt promotions even make their way onto radio airwaves, which is wonderful. But I think the main thing that we focus on is that it's a choice, you know. And one of the things that I feel strongly about is that what we do, it's not this concept of charity and giving a handout or anything like that. It's really about empowering these kids, you know, showing them what their options are, and then giving them the choice. Because I think 9 times out of 10, you know, you're going to get a kid that knows the difference between right and wrong, wants to strive for something if they can see that there's a better option. And, you know, I think that our kids are amazing proof of that.
How do you find your kids? Do you recruit them? Do they find you? Do the schools recommend? I mean, how do you find each other?
Maybe that's a
good question. Okay, that's a good question. Okay, so hi, guys.
Santa or Rudy.
Santa?
Well, I think if you're like, you're really committed to music, then that program is something you find, because, you know, not everybody's committed to the music or like enjoy music. So I think that we find it.
You find it.
Yeah.
Did you find out about it through school? Did your teacher tell you about it? It was through school.
Yeah.
And Rudy?
Yeah. One of my teachers told me about it because I wanted to know more about it, so my teacher said, maybe you should try out Guitars Over Guns. And then my dad wanted to know more about it, and that's when my teacher told me about it, and I thought I could give it a shot. And
that was the first time Rudy had a guitar in his hand, and when you hear him play later, you'll realize that if nothing else ever came from this program, that was a victory that made it all worth it.
Well, it's amazing, Rudy, because you said you've only been playing 4 years. I've been listening to you strum away a little. You don't sound like you've only been playing 4 years.
And he's going to be playing at the Marlins game, the national anthem, on Saturday night when our Marlins play the Padres. That's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
Will you have, and Santa, will you be singing the national anthem with him? Okay, so it's just going to be unaccompanied, just solo guitar?
Yeah, just solo.
Okay.
So one of the things that Rudy does is he takes popular music and makes his own arrangements where he plays the bass line, the chords, and the melody all at the same time.
Sort of Stanley Jordan-esque.
It's amazing. Yeah. So,
why did you choose to focus on middle school students as opposed to even younger?
I think middle school is really that age where you find that kids are forming opinions about who they are. You know, if you think about the way a school is structured, for instance, kids are with their kindergarten class or you know, until they get to middle school, they're with the same kids all day. They go from one class with one teacher through right. various subjects, and then all of a sudden you're thrown into middle school. You're switching from class to class. You're with a whole bunch of different kids. You're kind of on your own for the first time in some ways, and all those pressures of, you know, peer influences are there, and I think it's just a really important time to find some kind of grounding. And I think that, you know, a lot of our kids seek that relationship with an adult that can be there and can care about them, and that's really, it's an amazing thing, you know, because a mentor is in a specific position that's not a parent, it's not a teacher, it's not a cop, you know, you're a friend in some ways, but you've been through similar things that they have in their life, and you have, you know, you can be a sounding board for some of those.
Santa Marie Arocha, tell us about your vocal abilities, and when did you first begin to foster them, and what has the program meant to you?
Well, I actually started singing when I was about 6, 7, and I realized that, like, I enjoy music a lot, and this program has actually taught me that, you know, if you love something, you have to show people you love it. So that's when I started playing guitar as well, because people aren't going to know I sing if I'm just walking around. Like, they don't know what I have in here. So
actually,
I started
carrying a guitar.
Yeah, I started carrying it around.
Before you started playing. Okay.
And
a prop.
Yeah. And I actually started, my mom used to work at Berry University, and I used to carry it and go to her job, and people asked me, hey, play something for me. And I didn't really know how to play. So I started searching up YouTube tutorials on how to play a song, and I come back the next day and I learned something. But yeah, this program has actually taught me that, that, you know, if you love something, do it. And it gives you, like, motivation, and you feel more better about yourself.
Rudy, how has Guitars Over Guns changed your life?
Well, that's just, like, put it back a little, bring it back. Like, before Guitars Over Guns,
yeah,
I didn't know how to play guitar. Like I would look at it, and then even though I'll play it, like, I would just strum it. I wouldn't know what I was doing at all. And then that's when I heard of Guitars Over Guns through my teacher, and the program has showed me, like, a lot of cool techniques, like, about strumming, finger picking, which, like, I really do a lot. And so, because of the program, now I don't have to really worry, because I know how to play. And I could walk up to a person, and if they want to hear me play, yeah, I'll play for them. I'll play a song.
Okay, well, we're going to hear you play a song. But yeah, I just want to ask a couple of other questions.
Well, we want to hear them, though.
Okay, we want to hear. I just want to know how. Okay, I feel like you, when you were addressing at the juvenile detention center, Chad, and they said, no, we're falling asleep. We want to hear you play. But how do you get your instruments? Are they donated?
So, yeah, we have a lot of support in our community. We get our instruments through various grants and through partnerships, and also a lot of instrument donations. And actually, it's amazing that the organization has grown to where it is. We actually have a member of our musical community that we lost recently, Stefano Rotati, and his family set up an amazing memorial fund for us to be able to provide instruments to our kids. So I just want to thank Audrey and her family for that. And you know, we have a lot of people that are really supportive of what we're doing. And through donations and through grants and through various foundations, we're able to support what we're doing.
Okay. So now, you're a trombonist.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't plan this. But do you want to accompany? Yes, I think they want you to. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, mm-hmm. So I guess you need your trombone.
You need your axe.
Well, I'll jump in. I'll let them start. Okay. Maybe they'll make room for me.
Okay, so we're listening to Rudy LaFrance, and he's the acoustic guitarist, and he's going to be accompanied by vocalist Santa Marie Arocho, and soon to be joined on the trombone by Chad Bernstein whenever the spirit moves him.
The trombone doctor.
Yes, the trombone doctor.
Wrong song, Rudy.
You have to admit they're loose.
Yes.
Well, we're throwing some variables into the mix here.
Okay.
So I think what Rudy's doing right now is retuning to a different song, maybe?
Yeah.
So one of the things that Rudy has learned on his own, not on his own, through our mentors at the program, but then really taken and made his own, is alternate tuning systems, and he's actually created some of his own ways to play these songs that you're familiar with in his own style. And it's incredible when you find a student that is really hungry for it, that just takes the information you give them, and then the next week they come back and they're like, well, what else do you have? Because I've gone through this 100 times, you know, since last week, and it's a pretty incredible thing. So
are we going to recognize the tune you're playing?
What are you playing, by the way?
We're going to be playing Thinking About You by Frank Ocean.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. A tornado flew around my room before you came. Excuse the mess I made. It usually doesn't rain. Southern California, much like Arizona, my eyes don't shed tears before they boil. And I'm thinking about you, ooh, no, no, no. I've been thinking about you, you, no, no, no. I've been thinking about you. Do you think about me still? Do ya, do ya? Or do you not think so far?
Two hands, but we really mean it.
Yeah.
This is a lot more fun than interviews, Bonnie.
That was beautiful. That was so beautiful.
Thank you.
You don't need to play the guitar, Santa. You got it in here.
She does now beautifully, though.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, she's an amazing guitar player also.
So let me ask you this. Thank you so much. That was really gorgeous. Let's talk about Guitars Over Guns and how people can find it, how, you know, what you have, events you have coming up. Just tell us more about the organization. And I know there are a lot of rules and regulations for the kids and stuff.
I saw some of those.
Yeah. It's pretty strict,
it's like
you
boot
know?
Camp.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to have structure and have boundaries. I mean, I think a lot of people have the impression that, oh, you know, kids want to be loose and free. But in every experience that we've had, our students really thrive on having some structure. And within that, you know, it's obviously fun. I mean, it's music. We're learning popular music. But there's structure. You know, when you're a part of something that we feel very strongly about, and these guys feel very strongly about as well, all of our students, all of our mentors, all of our, you know, everybody in our organization represents who we are. And we want to be something different than maybe what you walk outside of that school and see.
And your structure is different than traditional, the teachers, the parents. It's something a little cooler.
Right. So, I mean, I think the amazing part is that we have such incredible professional musicians in Miami. There's so much talent. And what was really striking was, you know, we think about philanthropy and people giving back and these things as these black tie galas and people with thousands of dollars that are donating. And God bless those people. I mean, so thankful for those people that make it possible for what we do. But there's another aspect of that where you're giving of yourself. And these musicians that I'm so fortunate to have in the organization and be surrounded with on stage, you know, these people are so giving of themselves. When you may look at somebody and think that musicians aren't necessarily in a position to be funding organizations, they are, you know, through true heart and soul and through their passion.
And you asked this poignant question. You said, why would someone want to give either their money or their time to Guitars Over Guns as opposed to the thousands of other wonderful efforts which cover our landscape? What's the answer?
Because what we're doing works and it matters. And it's creating a new generation of kids that have hope and have answers to some of these questions and have a different future after being in the program. And, you know, I feel really strongly about the work that we do. And I think it's most telling the way that these guys feel about the organization and the fact that they graduated, they went to different schools, but they spend their time every week coming back. And it's not only to be there and to be a part of that community, but it's to help these other kids in the same way that they received whatever they received when they were in the program. And I don't think there's any stronger endorsement than that. I mean, we never went after them and said, hey, will you guys come back and do this? They blazed a new trail. And it's because of them that we now have student mentors. I'm so impressed by our kids and by the potential and what they're able to achieve that maybe at the time they didn't realize that they were able to achieve, or maybe that nobody told them, hey,
right,
you know, I think this is what you're capable of. But through the program, you know, they found inspiration and they took it to levels that we just would never have imagined. So I think it's through their stories and through their messaging that you really understand the impact of what we're doing.
Rudy and Santa, where are you both educationally now?
So I'll be becoming a junior for next year. North Miami Beach Senior High. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Santa?
And I am now going to be a sophomore at North Miami Senior High.
Yeah. Both on the honor roll.
Yes.
You meant something I saw in the accompanying material is the GPA of these kids has risen dramatically.
Yeah, so one of our partners, Communities and Schools, is really amazing with tracking the data. They were actually the ones that supported us as our fiscal agent when we came to the community. And we've since grown into our own 501c3, our own nonprofit status. But one of the things that we've always been really cognizant of is measuring the impact that we have. And it's been impressive. I don't think we would have ever imagine that the impact would have been that significant on the GPA.
Quickly run down the events because we have to be going pretty soon.
And also, are you looking for volunteers, donations of donations, instruments, mentors?
Absolutely. All of the above. Okay. You can find information about the program at guitarsoverguns.org. Also our social media, which is where you can find most of our day-to-day information and events. It's all at Guitars Over Guns. This evening we have two events coming up, one in Fort Lauderdale and at Stash Bar. And then we have the Iron Fork event with the Miami New Times that our students will be featured at tonight. Rudy's playing at
the Marlins. Part of Miami Spice.
Yeah. Rudy's playing at the Marlins game on Saturday. We have our first ever summer camp. Year-end performance is on Saturday as well at South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center at 10 a.m. And then next weekend we have an event with Emerge Miami and Engage Miami at the park right next to American Airlines Arena from 1 to 4. So
wow.
Definitely keep us on your radar and please come out and support. And every donation, I mean, really, truly helps. It goes towards the kids and the
instruments. Be it time, be it money, or be it an instrument, or be it a mentor.
Absolutely. This is our community. You know, we're responsible for making it happen. So thank you for your help.
Well thank you. All for coming. I wish we had time for another piece, but... Musician and educator Chad Bernstein, one of South Florida's premier Latin jazz and funk artists, is the president and co-founder of GuitarsOverGuns.org. And we also heard Rudy LaFranz. He played the acoustic guitar. Rudy, it was gorgeous. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Santa Maria Rocho, beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Food and Dining, up next.
And welcome back to today's Topical Currents, and welcome to our Food and Dining Thursday. Joe and I always look forward to the conversation, especially today. It's one of our favorite times of year, and the foods. So today, chef, author, and syndicated columnist and our friend Linda Gassenheimer gives the info about the 8th annual Miami Spice restaurant discount period, but...
Uh-oh.
But,
but
before we get there, Linda,
we want details.
You have given new meaning to the phrase that it literally pays off to listen to WLRN.
Dividends.
It sure does.
Pays
it
dividends. Sure Tell does. Us what happened.
Was it Tuesday you had the Florida?
Yes. Unclaimed property.
Right. And I said, well, for a lark, I just put my name up there. And I found money. Just like that. I found money. And I was very excited about that. So thank you. And no, you may not come for drinks with me.
Okay. I was going to say, you know, well, we have a pledge drive. Not too far from now. We know where
right.
it can
okay,
go.
Cool. Okay, yes, right.
Go ahead.
And I want to tell you, it's 14 years for Miami Spice.
Oh,
wow. Thank you, Linda.
Yes, 14.
I don't know where I got 8, but...
Okay, bargain months at Miami-Dade restaurants. You can try top-rated restaurants and with a major, major discount. $23 for three-course lunch, $39 for dinner, and sometimes it's even a four-course lunch. So... here to tell us and give us a scoop about what's going on with it is Bill Talbert. He's the president and CEO of the Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau. They organize and they produce the event. So welcome, Bill Talbert.
Good to be back, Linda. Right. We do this every year, don't we?
Yes.
We sure do, and we look forward to it. And also with us is Ralph Pagano. He's a chef owner of Naked Taco and Naked Lunch. Now, those are restaurants. And he's also going to be a judge at the Iron Fork. That's tonight's Miami Spice kickoff party. So welcome, Ralph Pagano.
Oh, it's so good to be here, Linda.
Oh, great to have you. And of course, we'd love to have you, our listeners, join us. Our topic, Miami Spice Month. Do you have any questions or maybe some suggestions? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
Or radio at WLRN.org.
Give us an email if you'd like. Okay. Also, of course, with us, our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype. You can read Fred's wine suggestions for my Dinner in Minutes columns in the Herald. And you can also read Fred's wine column. It's now on Saturday in the Herald. Fred, what are we drinking today?
Is Fred with us?
We might be having trouble with our Skype.
I think Fred is drinking now.
We'll work on it.
All right, Fred, you'll join us in a few minutes, and you'll tell us
technology,
what you're
thinking.
He can stop any time, right?
Okay, well, let's start with Bill Talbert. 14th year, Miami Spice Months, they're August and September. So what's new this year for Miami Spice?
Goodness, if you didn't think we could get more restaurants, we're up to 194 restaurants.
Participating. Fantastic.
53 new restaurants. It's incredible, the culinary scene.
They're new to Miami Spice, not necessarily new
to
Miami.
New to Miami Spice. Right. And I tell you, what I suggest to everyone, I keep it going, is the ilovemiamispice.com website. We've got a hashtag Miami Spice for those hashtag folks, but I know what I do. It's going to start August 1st and go for 60 days. I go and drill down and look at the restaurant, what
and
days.
It's listed by
sections. By areas.
By areas.
By areas of
and
town.
And types of food and
yes.
All. Right.
Because I'm in Coconut Grove in downtown, so I look there. But, I was over on the beach just this morning at a new restaurant that's part of the program. But the experienced Miami Spicers will go on the website and look at the days. You know, are you open every day? Are you open for lunch and dinner? And you also see the little special offers, particularly if you're a foodie. What's the menu? What
sure,
are the offerings?
And you can see what's on the menu.
Oh, and it changes maybe week to week or maybe even
later. So maybe
later.
If you're making a reservation, you should tell them that you're coming with Miami Spice. And, do you have anything new? What's happening?
And probably the best way is to go to ilovemiamispice.com. I mean, it's beaten into my brain, but
why don't you say it another time?
You know, it doesn't. You know, $23 and $39 appetizer, main course, and dessert. Tax and tip is separate. Don't forget to tip. What is it, Ralph?
Don't be scared to over tip. Is what
thank
I
you, Ralph.
But are you supposed to tip based on what it would have been or what it is?
You know, I think that's a pretty broad question. I think the tip should be based upon the service that you've enjoyed.
Okay.
So
okay.
If
there's
it's
a good answer.
If it's a $10 yeah. bill, but you got $50 worth of service, don't be scared to throw it around.
Okay. But I know me personally, I use Miami Spice as an opportunity to go to restaurants I haven't been to, restaurants I've heard of, restaurants I can't afford.
Right.
I mean, 194, 53 new restaurants all over our community. And you name a fine dining opportunity, they're probably on Miami Spice. And we're looking forward, Ralph, to tonight, the New Times Iron Fork. The Convention Bureau is a sponsor. And
right, we're going to talk about that in a minute, but okay. I think we've got Fred with us.
Yes.
Hello, Fred.
You do indeed. How
Freddy.
Are you?
Hi, Freddy.
Fred, we had announced you and you weren't there, but we're going to be drinking with you soon.
That's always a good thing.
Okay, great. Thanks. Nice to hear your voice.
We miss you, Fred. Miss you.
Yeah, I miss you guys.
Well, come on down and visit us.
It's too hot down there.
Yeah.
Well, we are here in January and February where Michigan is not so hot. Okay.
That's true.
All right. Ralph Pagano. Bill Talbert's already mentioned the New Times Iron Fork is tonight. It's the kickoff event for Miami Spice Month. So tell me, what's going to happen there?
You know, it's always a great event to be at. You know, all the chefs come together. And, you know, we do, the restaurant community here in Miami does so many different events that people come to, and they do the tastings and the drinking. But this one is a real local community event where the chefs come. They have a good time. They get to show off some of these great new spice dishes, which is a great opportunity, let me be said, that chefs use to show their customers and showcase some new items, right? Because everybody knows that the spice menu is going to be what sells. So the chefs are going to be out there. They're going to be having a good time and in good spirits. Some of them will be drinking. Some of them will not be. And then there'll be an iron fork competition on the main stage, which I'll
be. There's going to be the two chefs, yeah. Iron fork. You're going to be a judge. They're women.
Girl power.
That's it. That's okay.
I like to surround myself by good-looking women who know how to cook.
So who are they?
Tonight, Chef Dina from MC
Dina
Kitchen.
Marino.
Dina Marino from MC Kitchen.
Okay.
And Eileen
Adrade.
From Finca, which is an absolutely spectacular restaurant as right. well. So two really great chefs, two fantastic women, and it's going to be a square off. And fortunately for me, they're going to be putting things in my mouth.
Sounds rough.
Contact sport.
That's it.
We're not going to go much further with that. But I was talking to some of them, to the chefs, and... Have you got any advice? I mean, what are you going to be looking for? Let's help them along. What should they do to win?
You know, I try to take my cooking advice from Coco Chanel. And she said when she got dressed in the morning and she looked at the mirror, take a look at yourself, take one thing off, and then walk out the door. Sometimes in the chef competitions, chefs seem to overload the ingredient level with 16 different items, with different sauces and whatever have you. The less is more resonates pretty strong with the judges.
Ralph, where's the event taking place tonight?
Tonight's going to be at the Hyatt Regency. It's downtown. It's beautiful. Plenty of parking, which is super important. Kickoff is 7 p.m.
And VIP is 6 p.m. And there are tickets available. So where do they go to get the tickets?
You can go to miamiandbeaches.com. We have it on our website.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another website here. We have a phone number. I'll pull it up now, and you'll get it in just a second.
Is some of the information available at ilovemiamispice.com by any chance?
Right. Probably.
Absolutely. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Yeah, Ralph.
That's why I'm here, baby.
Oh, right. Wow, Ralph.
Okay.
Keep you around.
So Ralph, I can't let you go without asking you something about this Naked Taco and Naked Lunch. Interesting names. How'd you get that name? Why is this, other than the draw?
You know, Linda, you inspired me.
Other than William Burroughs.
You know, well, it's actually William Burroughs, exactly right. You know, Linda, you inspired
me. Funny, I'm impressed.
As you said, when you see me, you think about getting naked, right? So it's been like that. The truth is, Naked Taco.
She's got clothes on now. I know that.
Only halfway. Naked Taco.
Let's keep it polite down there.
Is on Collins Avenue and 11th Street at the Dream Hotel, right next to the Versace Mansion. And there we have a chef driven by yours truly, Mexican inspired, but not necessarily authentic, but inspired menu. Well, where we take tips from all the different Mexican categories, such as fajitas, flautas,
that's
tacos.
For the taco.
That's the taco.
And the lunch?
And the lunch.
Because it's interesting. You have a very interesting menu at the lunch.
Well, the lunch is my love affair with everything that is the Jewish deli and the Greek diner. So you can get a Reuben sandwich, a pastrami sandwich. You can get all things Greek salads and gyros, as well as a cold beer. So it's pretty exciting. And
so
it is my nod.
So you can get Greek-Jewish food. Jewish deli food.
By an Italian-Lebanese guy in Miami. Exactly.
Okay, and where does William Burroughs come in?
William Burroughs was my inspiration for the design of the restaurant. As he is a Pulp Fiction writer, the restaurant is designed like that of the diner from the movie Pulp Fiction.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. Now, we need to go to a break. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. My guests are Bill Talbert. He's the CEO of the Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau. And Ralph Pagano, as you've heard, he's the chef owner of Naked Taco and Naked Lunch. And we're talking about Miami Spice Restaurant Months. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. We're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and my guests are Bill Talbert. He's the CEO and president of the Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau, and Ralph Pagano. He's the chef owner of Naked Taco and Naked Lunch. They've been giving us the scoop on Miami Spice Months, August and September, and we were talking about tonight is the New Times Iron Fork event at the Hyatt Hotel. And Bill, you told me that it's sold out, but you can come and show up at the door and get in
and buy a ticket.
But, yes.
And use my name, Bill Talbert, and also Ralph. You'll be there.
Yeah, people usually when they use my name, they know they're breaking the law, so it's okay.
But we're not going to turn anybody away from this great, great, great event.
So no, it's
going to
be great.
There. It's one of my favorite events of the year.
Okay, well, now it's Dinner in Minutes time. So if you're not going and you want a Dinner in Minutes tonight, it's Korean grilled chicken with steamed noodles. Now, the grilled chicken is coated with a garlicky soy sauce glaze. And I like to use chicken thighs because they have more flavor. They're juicy and meaty, and you can find boneless, skinless ones in the market. So I place the thighs in a plastic bag, and then I add some soy sauce, some vinegar, some garlic, some sesame oil, some mustard and ginger. Are you getting hungry, Ralph?
I'm licking my lips right now.
Okay, cool. marinate the chicken for about 5 minutes, that's all. Then I take the chicken out, and I take the marinade and put it in a saucepan, so don't throw it out. Grill the chicken either stovetop or outside, about 8 minutes. A meat thermometer should read 175 degrees. Then you boil up the marinade till it comes syrupy, 2 or 3 minutes, and you spoon that over the chicken. It makes a nice glaze. Side dish is really simple. Chinese steamed noodles. You can find them in the produce section of the market. So I put those in boiling water with some broccoli, florets, shredded carrots that are by already shredded in the market. Couple of minutes. That's it. Drain it. A little sesame oil. That's the dinner. Bonnie's looking at me with big eyes.
Oh, yes. A keen drawing.
Okay. So this the recipe, complete recipe, and a photo, it's at dinnerinminutes.com. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. Fred Tasker, what are we drinking?
Well, wine, of course. Now, okay. I love Miami Spice. It's really a welcome chance to try restaurants that for most of the year are too expensive, except on very special occasions. And of course, I always want some wine with my dinner. And in the early days of Miami Spice, this was sometimes a danger to my wallet. One time I bought the special meal for $39, then found that the cheapest wine on their list was $65. That kind of took the fun out of it. But I guess restaurant people are smart, and by now they have come up with ways of easing that price burden. A lot of them have Miami Spice wine specials as well. For example, at Area 31 restaurant in the Epic Hotel, during Miami Spice, the house bubbly is $7 a glass, and you can get a good selection of craft beers for the same $7. Other wines by the glass start at 11, so it's a lot more fun that way. Now, in the restaurant called Azul in the Mandarin Oriental, they have wines by the glass starting at $12. And maybe the best deal is at the Capitol Grill in Miami. All during August, they have what they call the Generous Pour. They have 8 wines, all made by women winemakers.
Okay,
which is
I was waiting for that. That's good. This is Girl Power Day. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh,
Fred.
I'm glad I brought that up.
It's a good thing, Fred.
I like girls.
And you can have as many glasses as you want for $28. Now, I might abuse something like that, but for most people, it's a really nice gesture.
Where is that, Fred, again?
Capitol Grill.
It's
at Capitol Grill.
Okay. Capitol Grill, yeah.
Make a note of that.
Good to know, right?
Yeah, yes,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Bill's on his way right now.
Yeah. Well, it's Saturday.
Okay.
Saturday.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think it started yet.
Saturday.
August 1st it starts.
Yep.
Before you make a reservation for a Miami Spice meal, check the website for wine specials. Or if you can't find them, simply call and ask, because it's a lot more fun when you don't go home broke. Now, Bill, are you folks encouraging restaurants to create these wine specials for Miami Spice?
Oh, absolutely. And we encourage them to add a fourth option. Absolutely. And many of them do it. And I think with 194 restaurants, 53 new to the program this year, I mean, there's a lot of competition. I mean, there's customers, but we find more and more of the restaurants doing just that because, as you said, people go to that website, and that may be the difference in going to a restaurant and not going to a restaurant.
Right, and as Fred said, I think that over the years, the Miami Spice restaurants have become more aware of what's going on. I mean, it used to be going, I mean, sometimes people would feel or call in and tell me that they felt like they were second-class citizens because they had to ask for the Miami Spice menu. And Bill, you were giving some advice on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's more and more restaurants. I mean, I clearly go to a bunch of these throughout the 60 days. More and more restaurants have a separate, beautiful menu just for Spice. They'll have a tent card when you go in, announcing it. And I think, once again, because there's so much competition, people don't want to disappoint the customer. But at the end of the day, also, if you're going there because of Spice, you know, I can't recall any time I've gone to a restaurant and they didn't give me a Spice menu, didn't probably say, we're in Miami Spice. So I think they're more doing that than not doing it. I got to give a quick plug here because my partners are listening in. The Miami Downtown Development Authority is also a sponsor tonight, Ralph.
Nice.
We're in the downtown. The Hyatt is in downtown. So if I don't make that mention,
well, you did.
I can't go tonight.
All right.
I think a lot of the restaurants have realized that the reason they're in Miami Spice is to get people to come back, and you have to treat them well to get them to come back.
Yeah, and I think in the early days, there were people did different things, but I think everybody knows Spice. They have that, you know, they'll have that printed page. We have a little collateral piece here. I know I carry this around. I look at the website.
He's holding a pamphlet, red pamphlet that says, ilovemiamispice.com.
Thank you for mentioning that website.
Yes,
Linda.
I knew you would like that. So, but the website is important because
it's critical.
You need to go there. You need to see. I mean, it doesn't do you any good to go to a restaurant in Miami Spice and you don't like what's on the menu.
Or find that day that they're not open for lunch, but they're open for dinner, or vice versa.
Right.
You go to lunch, they say, we're only open for dinner. And, I mean, I think the experienced Spicers, call it Spicers, mm-hmm. know that you look at that for when they're open, when they're closed, what the menu is, because once again, these menus change maybe every week.
And don't the restaurants change sometimes? Don't some join Miami Spice after it's already begun?
Because
it looks like some are added sometimes.
Well, I think we went from 192 to 194 in the last couple of days.
Okay.
But this card is printed. So, I mean,
He's holding up the card for everybody to see.
Know.
In case on radio, you can't see.
It's on camera. Can you get that on camera?
Your
Ralph,
Honor. Yeah.
Huh? No?
Just like I was in the courtroom.
Yeah. But, I mean, the whole program, we have a new sponsor this year, City, you know, Stella, and also Breaking News. Can I have the Breaking News on?
Go ahead.
Just yesterday, Publix has joined the program.
Oh,
Publix,
okay.
which is a real breakthrough.
They're helping to sponsor because people might say, why do you need sponsors? But it costs you a lot of money to put out the publicity, getting it organized, and a lot of staff.
Well, we have street banners. We have publications. We do. There's a lot of promotions. But also, in fairness, each restaurant pays a fee to be involved in a program. We didn't necessarily have that in the first year, but I can tell you the success of the program is August and September used to be the weakest months of the year for restaurants. Now it's like the fourth or fifth best month of the year for restaurant sales, and what? Because of Miami Spice.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you would think, well, $39, the restaurants are losing out, but actually it's a chance for them to keep their staff throughout the summer.
Good point.
Because that's important.
You know, and the truth is, the $39 most of the time doesn't include the beverages, right? So, you know, as we speak about the wine and all the pieces, you know, if $39 becomes $49, becomes $59, the restaurateur has a great check average going on, and it really keeps the excitement going on. And it's really made Miami, I've been here for 15 years. 15 years ago, you couldn't get a fresh piece of fish, and now it is a culinary capital of the world, and that's the difference.
Right, it is. And the
a clothed fish, or it's a naked fish.
It's a naked fish.
Naked
fish. Miami, baby.
I couldn't
Hashtag
help.
Get naked.
I couldn't help. Hashtag Miami Spice.
Touché.
But I think that's also, Lyndon, we were talking earlier. You know, in the earlier days, some of these issues. I mean, it would. But today, with social media, if a customer is not satisfied with the restaurant,
watch
the
out.
Entire world is going to know it.
Absolutely.
Watch out.
And I think appropriately so.
Right. And so, and also, I don't think we have a slow season here anymore.
Well, no, that's, you know, I've been here more than 15, but, you know, the seasons are gone. The seasonality is gone, and we have the same number of visitors each quarter, the same number of visitors. What they spend may be a little different, but remember when Miami Beach closed in the summer?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's booming.
Right. Very booming.
Alive
well,
and
we're,
well.
We're booming out of time.
No.
It's been really fascinating and all. Bill Talbert, CEO and President of the Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau. Thank you so much
we
for
We love you,
us.
Linda. We love you all year long.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love Miami Spice.
No.
.com.
.com. And Ralph Pagano, chef owner of Naked Taco and Naked Lunch. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Linda.
Be a good judge tonight. I'm going to be watching you.
My vote can be bought.
I see. You can find more about Miami Spice at ilovemiamispice.com. Next week will be our very popular Restaurant Roundabout Review Program. We'll have 1 hour show about restaurant reviews, and please call in with your favorite treasures. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.
And thanks for tuning us in this afternoon. Our producer is Richard Ive, technical direction from Michael Stock. Remember our free audio archives and downloads at our website, that's WLRN.org.
Also check out the Topical Currents Facebook page for links, photos, and more, courtesy of Paul Leary, our wonderful online producer. That's facebook.com/topicalcurrents. Tomorrow at 1, it's Ed Bell in the South Florida Arts Beat. And of course, Joe and I return Monday with another Topical Currents edition.
On Monday's edition, we check out ideas for more recreational areas and bike paths in the community, including plans for the Rickenbacker Causeway and the Brickell to Dadeland Underline Railroad Park Project. Makes use of the land under the tracks. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, Linda Gassenheimer, and Fred Tasker, thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next from NPR News.